Ed, on the leadership here, if you don't know me. Also as a Welsh rugby fan, I'm convinced more than ever after this morning that God is Welsh, because there was no way we should have won that game. So thank you, Jesus. let's pray as we come to this passage. Lord Jesus, it says in your word, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. I pray my words today, Lord, and Jude's words as well, would be the very words of God, that you would speak through us, that your spirit would speak truth and life to us, and that to you would be the glory in this room and forevermore. Amen. So really good to see you all. We're talking about serving. I just want to start off by saying, if this is your first Sunday here or you're a visitor, you're very welcome. We hope this will be useful for you, because we're going to talk about serving in general, and then we're going to talk a bit about what serving looks like at St. James. So some of the bit about serving at St. James might not work for you. It might do. You might decide, this is a great church, I'm going to get on the kitchen rota. Great, please do. But there's no pressure to. But hopefully this first, you know, the first chunk of the sermon particularly will be really useful for you as we look at serving. We've been doing our values over the last 5 weeks or so. It's the last Sunday we've been doing our values. And you'll notice that we've got the five banners and something mysterious in the corner. Jude might get to that in a little bit. But we're looking at serve today and what it means for us to serve God and to serve the world. Peter, in this context, if you look at verse 7 in the reading, Peter is writing to his church and he says, the end of all things is near. He's reminding them of the fact that the world isn't just drifting along. There is a conclusion coming to this world. Jesus is coming again. There will be a new heavens and a new earth, a new creation. Something is going to happen. The end is near. And we as Christians are kind of forerunners of that hope. We're ambassadors on earth, showing people that God's kingdom is coming in its fullness. It's here already, but it's coming in its fullness. And we are people who can live that out. And really, that's what these values have been all about. How can we as individuals love God and love each other well to show God's kingdom? How can we build God's kingdom with him? How can we grow as disciples? How can we live as a community together that shows the world around us that God's kingdom is coming and in fact has come already in Jesus? And if the world needs something at the moment, I think serving is a particularly powerful thing that is perhaps not happening that much in the world. There seems to be a lot of self-service going on and not so much service of others. And we as Christians have a great chance to model that not only to each other, but to the world, that following Jesus means serving. We all know that Jesus came not in power and in glory, but as a servant, humble and obedient. So serving, I think, is a really powerful way that we can show the world that God is coming back, that the end of all things is near. Jesus is coming, look busy, in other words. So I just want to take us through four myths of serving and what Peter says to tell you that they're wrong in a nice way. First myth of serving. We serve because there's rotas to be filled and there's just stuff to do. I mean, that's kind of true. We have lots of rotas here, as you'll see later on. But that's not why we serve. We serve out of deep love for each other and out of deep love for God. Look at verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Love each other deeply. We love each other as family, and so that means serving each other. But really, all of that comes out of God's love for us, the fact he came and lived and died for us, and his service to us. And so our love for each other really comes from God's love for us. And one of the key ways that love expresses itself is serving, putting the needs of someone else before yourself. As God's love pours into our hearts, so the natural response is to love him back, but also to love particularly our church family and those around us. We serve because of that love. And actually, in some deep way, we serve God by serving our brothers and sisters around here. So that's the first myth. We serve because we have to. The second myth is that serving is easy and joyful and always fun. It is, hopefully. You know, when I do kids work on a Sunday, I really love having some crazy conversations with our 7, 8, and 9-year-olds. You never quite know what they're going to say. But I do come home more tired than probably anything else having done that. Cleaning the kitchen is not necessarily a fun task, but it's something that needs to happen. Serving is often sacrificial. Look at verse 9. Offer hospitality to one another. That's good. That's quite good. But he has to remind the church. Peter has to remind his church to do it without grumbling. Clearly some grumbling has started to happen. Serving is a sacrificial thing. And it's quite easy for us to grumble about it. But actually, Peter is saying, offer hospitality and serve without grumbling. Hopefully, that means that you serve in a way that is enjoyable and fun. But as in every job, as in every family, there are things to do that is just not easy and fun. And that's where serving becomes really sacrificial. The third myth, our gifts are only for us. Our gifts are only for us. Look at verse 10 with me. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We talked about the body metaphor before we prayed at the 10:30. We are a body of Christ. We are a family, but we are a body. And there are some parts of the body that are really obvious and really visible, you know, hands and feet and legs and knees and all these sorts of things. But actually, for the body to be functioning really well and to be a healthy body, every part of it has to work well. And that's all the hidden bits inside, as well as the obvious bits on the outside. And we all know how quickly the body can go downhill if something on the inside goes wrong. Every part of our church family needs to be serving well. That doesn't necessarily mean everything is always seen. But it means that our gifts are not just for us. Because if we keep them to ourselves, then the body misses out on having them. If the eye said, do you know what, I'm going to look, but I'm not going to let anything go past, you know, the nerves in the, at the end of the retina into the brain, it wouldn't help the rest of the body very much. But actually, when the eye's joined up with everything else, the whole body works well. And actually, as Peter says here, these gifts are God's grace. They're God's gift to the church. And we all have something to offer, no matter how small we think that might be. If you love hoovering and you hoover at the end of every service, trust me, there'll be a lot of people here who'll be really thankful because Jude or I tap them on the shoulder and get them to do it at some point. You might think that's not a particularly important thing, but it can be a real gift to the whole church family. So our gifts are not just for our own use. And finally, the fourth myth, we serve in our own strength. The second half of verse 11 says, if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. When we serve, it's to the glory of God, hopefully. Again, this is sometimes obvious for some of the bigger things. You know, if Jude or I or someone else stands up and preaches, hopefully we're giving glory to God and using our gift to do that. It perhaps is less clear if you're helping out with the children's work or cleaning the toilets or doing the car park duty that your gift is to God's glory. But all of these things glorify God because they are using the things that God has given us for the way they are intended. And we do it in the strength of the Spirit because it's not about us. It's about God. We have so much to offer each other and to offer the world as well. You know, the gift of welcome isn't just one for a Sunday morning at 10:30 or 4 o'clock. It's one you can do to the new colleague at work. It's one you can do to a new family member, to the new student in your block, whoever it might be. The gifts that God has given you can be used in so many different ways. So serving, it's because we love each other, not because we have to. It can be sacrificial. In fact, giving and serving is often very sacrificial. It shows God's grace to each other and to the world. And we do it for God's glory and his strength. G's going to talk a bit more about what serving looks like in a big picture at St. James, and I'm going to come and do even more detail a bit later on.
Ed, thank you. So yes, within this theme of serving, I'd love to talk about passing on the baton. Passing on the baton to the next generation. So I was at a Christian event once, and there was a young person, I guess 19, 20 or something, leading worship at the event. And I was just really encouraged by their worship leading, and you know, they clearly had a real gift for worshiping. So at the end of the event, I went over and had a chat and was like, you know, just encouraging them, you know, you're really gifted, God's really gifted you in leading worship. And I just asked them, I said, you know, did you happen to lead worship, you know, on a Sunday in church? The person said, no. And I said, oh, that's surprising. Well, why are you not leading worship on Sunday or helping in the band or something? And their immediate response was, well, I don't lead worship so much at church because such and such leads worship there instead. And they mentioned a fairly well-known worship leader. And I was like, so you don't lead worship on Sunday because there's someone who's really good at that who's doing it instead. I just sort of thought about that for a minute and just thought, actually, hold on a second. Isn't that a bit sad? You know, isn't that a bit sad that there's someone else who's got that gift, who's using it and doing well, but there's no space for you to explore and use that gift for yourself? Isn't that really a bit sad? In the book of Ephesians, it talks about gifts given to the church. And it's a fairly well-known passage in Ephesians chapter 4, where it talks about what we call sometimes the fivefold ministries, so the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And if you look at the text in Ephesians 4, it says God has given these roles to the church, to bless the church, but to equip God's people for works of service. So the point in the text, actually, is that God has given gifts to people in the church to use those gifts, but just as much as using the gifts, to equip others to use those gifts too. Yeah, that's the emphasis in that text in Ephesians. Passing on the baton. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, one of my favorite little snippets from Paul's writing, Paul says, he's writing to Timothy, and he says, what I passed on to you, pass on to others who can go on to pass on to others again. Actually, there's four generations in that little snippet of text. There's Paul passing on to Timothy, passing on to others who will be able to pass on to others again. Yeah? Four generations passing on. Four generations of baton passing, if you like. And verse 10 in our text where it says, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others. I mean, that means all sorts of different things, doesn't it? But I just think one thing that has to mean, surely, is that we're passing on the baton. The gifts God's given us, the things he's equipped us with, God's calling us to pass that on to others who can go on to exercise that ministry for themselves, for those whom God has called. And I think, I personally think that one of the reasons why, you know, if you look back over the last few decades, particularly in our cultural context, you know, one of the reasons why the church has declined, because I think we've lost this sense of, you know, actually, for every Christian person, we're all called to pass on the baton. Do you know what I mean? Every age and, you know, background, in every area of life and ministry, we're meant to pass on the baton to those coming after us. If we don't do that, then, you know, is the church going to continue to grow? It's not. You know, people are going to get missed out. People are going to get left behind. There isn't going to be the space for people to use the gifts that God has given them for the church. So every Christian, I think, is called to pass on the baton. I was really encouraged last week. I don't know if you were around last week, but last week we heard Matt was interviewing Lois. It's really cool. And Lois was talking about this sense she'd had of, like, she kind of knew that God had called her to lead worship, but it was like, it was kind of scary, wasn't it? It was kind of this scary sense of, Lord, you're definitely saying something to me, but I don't know how to do that. I don't want to do that. And then you had Matt's side of the story where he was calling out that gifting, encouraging you to step into that. And I had two things going on there. One is just the obedience The obedience actually to say, God, you're saying something to me here. This is really scary. This is really difficult. But I want to follow you. I want to be obedient. So there's that going on. But on the other side, you've got Matt, who loves leading worship. Matt, in his sort of self-understanding of his ministry, Matt realizes that actually a big part of his job is to get out of the way, to make space for other people to step in and use their gifts and abilities. Matt, I tell you, Matt, I think... Matt, he's not here today, so I can say it. I wouldn't say it if he was here, but I think Matt is one of the best people I think I've ever seen at handing on the baton. Do you know what I mean? Right from the off, isn't it? He just wants to see people fly in leading worship. He wants to encourage and call that gift out. It's so amazing, really. I was with a lady called Jo Code this week, who's the head teacher at St. Hilda's. St. Hilda's is the school where we're doing Youth Alpha at the moment on Thursday lunchtimes. And Jo was just really encouraging me. She just says she loved having our team in on Thursdays, and they're just doing great stuff. And the particular thing that Jo was trying to draw my attention to was she was saying, look, Jude, she said, there's things that if a student, 19, 20-year-old student comes in, or some of these young adults come into school, there's something they can do that she can't do, I certainly can't do, most of her staff can't do. Do you know what I mean? It's coming alongside somebody's kids and saying, actually, I was in your shoes just a couple of years ago. I know what it's like. Yeah? I know what it's like. Having those conversations, listening to their stories, and encouraging them to keep going. It was just brilliant, just listening to it. It's like, Lord, this is amazing. And I just want to encourage you, for our students, certainly, but for all of us, for students, you've got a unique role you can play, actually, in the life of our children. In our teenagers, and our kids. And there's lots of opportunities to serve in Youth Alpha at Hilda's, and we're probably going to other schools after Christmas. Really exciting. So have a think about that. Ed's going to talk us through how we can respond in a bit. But there's space to serve in our youth ministries on Thursday evenings, in schools, and of course with our Sunday kids work too. I think we see this baton passing in our mentoring. A little shout out for our mentors. In fact, give us a wave if you're a student mentor. There's a few of you in the room. We need more student mentors. If you're hearing this and you're thinking, ooh, I could be a student mentor, keep that in mind for a minute. But I think in everything we do, I think I just want to encourage us. Let's be encouraging one another, that there's a sense in which we're all called to pass the baton on. We're all called to equip, to give away the gifts and ministries to others, to help other people flourish, passing the baton. Related to this, and just as I'm talking, Brian, you might want to just go and pop the ladder down there, because we're going to, in a minute, we might have a little reveal thing going on in the corner here. But related, two significant things, I think, have happened in related to this over the last 12 months. First of all, there's been a few gatherings that we've done, I guess you might call them sort of leadership gatherings. So the PCC and midweek group leaders and various other folks, staff team, have been thinking a bit, praying a bit about, well, Lord, what's the sort of vision, God, that you're calling us to here at St. James over these next few years? You might want to stay down there, mate, actually, because we're getting close. Sorry, it's back and forth. I know. Just get on the ladder. No, we're getting close. So if we look at these two key words. I'll get there. We're getting there. We've been looking at two key questions, really, as a church. So one question has been, what words would we describe? What words would we use to describe the things that God has been doing over the last few years in our life as a church? That's one question. But a second question has been, what words would we use to describe the things we feel God is calling us into in the season ahead? It's been really interesting just sort of praying and talking together about that. And one of the key words that keeps coming out in terms of looking forward is this sense of resourcing. To resourcing the next generation. We should have practiced this, shouldn't we? Resourcing the next generation. Again, blessing other churches, charities, schools, ministries beyond St. James, planting new congregations, planting churches, equipping young leaders, sending other people off to do their best stuff far beyond the life of St. James. We're resourcing others, resourcing people for the future. So that's one thing that's been going on, that little exercise. And then the other thing that's been going on is the diocese have been... thinking afresh, doing a similar exercise thinking a bit about what they call the sort of missing generation, next generation, missing generation, which is this sort of age group from 11 to 25s, and recognising that there's quite a lot of children under 11 in schools across Liverpool, but actually between 11 and 25, so teenagers, young adults, there's a real gap. And so what is it, what does it look like for the church to connect with folks in that age bracket? And the diocese is asking St. James, amongst other churches, to really sort of take a lead on a new strategy on how we connect with all the stuff we're doing with schools, how do we do much more of that next term, next year, and beyond. And we're looking at various financial funding opportunities to extend that ministry. So very exciting. I think we're now there. Yes. Brian, I'm so sorry for going back and forth. So part of our expression of serving, part of our mission as a church is to resource the next generation seeking the renewal of the church. Brian, give it a tug. You can read that from where you are. Why not? And actually, while we're clapping, should we just acknowledge Val and her team, Andy Kids, Danielle, if she's around. I can't see Danielle, but so much effort has gone into our banners here, trying to bring to life something of what it means to follow Jesus here at St. James. So resourcing the next generation. Are we up for it? You sure? Yes, little amen. It's exciting. God's got good things for us. Ed, over to you.
Thank you, Jude. As one of the next generation, I feel very resourced. what does this mean for us right here, right now? How do we do it? You'll notice there are a few tables sort of dotted around the room. We have got in here and back in the children's rooms about 15 people representing key ministry areas for St. James. They don't represent everything that goes on, not by a long shot. But they do represent quite a number of things. There's a lot here about Sundays, a place of great sacrifice if you want to serve. A place for families, so particularly our kids' work on a Sunday is really under-resourced. We could do with more people helping out on that. Students, there's not much here about connect groups or justice and some of the justice initiatives we're involved in. But do come and have a chat to me or Jude or anyone on the staff team if you want to think about justice things particularly or connect groups. But there's lots of different things around, is the idea. And we're going to give you, in a minute, about 15 to 20 minutes to go and have a walk around and have a conversation with people. A few things before we do that, just to kind of give you permission to do things and not to do things. We really want people serving in the things that they love doing and that they're gifted in. If you want to help out with the kids' work because you know we're short, but you really hate children, please don't help out with the kids' work. If you want to help out tidy the kitchen, but you know that you love having conversations with people and you'd clean about two mugs and then get distracted, please don't come and sign up to help out at the kitchen. Do you know what I mean? You'll know what you're good at and what you're not good at. It might be that you're already on 3, 4, 5 rotors. Great. Take this as an opportunity to go, do you know what? I'm not sure I'm still doing this. I want to do something different. And take the opportunity to have a look around at what things do need doing in the life of the church. If you're here as a visitor or, you know, first or second time, we're not going to stop you signing up for rotors. You're really welcome. But you might want to take this opportunity to see some of the things that we're doing and get to know St. James a bit as a church and have a chat to a few people about what it means. There's lots of different things going on. In a minute, you're all going to get a leaflet that looks like this. Thank you, Kirsty and Becky. I think Kirsty printed all these actually on Friday, so thank you, Kirsty. This is for you to take home. There's about 15 things on here with the people who are representing them today. And you'll notice there's a tick box. You could tick that tick box if you're already serving on a rota. And then you could go around. And we suggest chatting to about 3 people. You can chat to more if you want to. Chat to a few if you want to. But about 3 conversations about some of these other ministries. And if you think that something there is for you to follow up on, there's a tick box for your own reminder. So you can put this on the fridge at home and you can remind yourself of what you're serving in and what God might be calling you into this next phase. On the back is a map as to where to find everyone. It's very helpful. Brian and Hannah are going to be in the children's rooms. Please don't forget about them. Do go and say hello to them because it could just be a very long, lonely time for them if not. So make sure you go to the kids' rooms as well and have a chat to them. You're each going to get one of them in a minute. And then every person you go and speak to will have a role description for what they're doing. So this one's for the laptop, for example. It tells you what it involves. It tells you when it happens and when you need to be at church and how often. And then how often you'd be on the rota to do it. And basically, who's in charge of the rota. It's normally Kirsty or myself or Matt or maybe Becky. And then at the bottom of each one is a little tear-off slip. So you can take away the role description to put on your fridge with the little handout. But there's a little response form at the bottom of each one. If you're interested in that ministry, rip that off. And we're going to come back together in about 15 or 20 minutes for a final song. And we're going to put all these forms in a rainbow, beautifully coloured, decorated box. And Tuesday staff team is basically, we're going to be going through all them, I think, and finding out who's signed up for what. It's going to be exciting. There are pens on the tables, so when you get to a place, you can sign your name, these things. We'd love you to respond today, if you can, to rip these off and put them in the box when the time comes in that final song. But you're more than welcome to take them home, have a think and have a pray, and come back next week, and there'll be a chance next week to, we'll have the box out, and we'll have all the volunteer descriptions out as well. Please don't feel under kind of lots of obligation. We just want you to enjoy having a look around and see what happens at church. And, you know, we want you to do this prayerfully and carefully. But on the other hand, there is stuff that needs to be done. So if you feel like you want to sign up for something, please, we'd love you to respond in that way. We serve each other and we serve Christ when we do this. And I know the people this morning who were on the desks had lots of really good conversations with people. And we've been really encouraged so far by how people have responded. Does that make sense? I hope it does. We'll have about 15 minutes, so plenty of time. Hopefully there's room in this room. Move chairs if you need to. It's fine. I think it'd be great if I could pray before we go into this. And just pray that God would do things. And the children are going to come back. Thank you, Jude. That's really helpful. The children are going to come back. So parents, if you have a child, they do have a treasure hunt to do that involves going around the various desks to find out different things. So they should be really helpful. And they get tokens. And there is a prize. Have you got the prizes, Jude? Jude has the prizes. So if they collect enough tokens, they can have a prize. But essentially, adults, the children are now your responsibility when they come in. rather than John and Andrew, who've been keeping them entertained for the last little while. Let me pray for us, and then we'll have about 15 minutes to have a look around. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to serve us. And we pray now that as we have conversations, as we move around this building, you would just guide us to the right people and you would give us the right conversations to have. And we thank you for our wonderful children. Amen. I'm going to hand out these handouts. Do take one and pass one back and then come and have a conversation.